Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
From very large digesters to very small ones now, because from introducing the first tastes of food to your baby at 6 months to packing a lunchbox for the first days of school, it can be really hard to know what to feed your child that does tick all of the boxes. You've got nutrition, it has to be tasty and it has to be convenient. And to give us some inspiration, now I'm joined in the studio by chef and director of Conbini Condiments, Holly Dalton. Holly, lovely to talk to you.
Great.
And this, of course, is front of mind with you, because your baby is how old?
8 months old.
Ah, so you're right in the middle of things being accepted and rejected.
Oh, 100%. A lot of rejections recently, like a lot of things that were like, oh, you liked this like 6 hours ago, you know, and now it's just like, oh, it's on the floor. Oh, it's all on the floor. That's so cool.
And you also have to get used to the fact that you're now preparing maybe a separate menu for your baby, trying to introduce new foods that you're eating, but they're not always successful because they like plain things.
Yeah, well, I think it's, for me, it hasn't been so much plain. I think there is this kind of common like conception that plain is like what babies like. Like they're going kind of from formula to, or breast milk to, like, you know, real food. And maybe I think in the very, very early stages, yeah, like keep it simple. You know, you're talking about your veg and your fruit purees, but like if you're introducing weaning at 6 months, very quickly you're going to want to move on to things that are like a little bit more complex. Nothing crazy, but eventually the goal is for them to eat what you are eating. So for me, that was kind of like, okay, right, what do myself and Seb eat on a like kind of daily basis? How can I modify this for the baby? So things like, you know, red lentil dal, that's something we eat a lot. Things that are like very, very small, kind of like little bits, nothing that's going to be a choking hazard, but things that are also tasty. I think a good rule of thumb with when it comes to weaning is if something kind of makes you feel like, that's kind of gross, I wouldn't eat that myself, or you're like, it smells a bit strange, not like off, but you're just kind of looking at it and you're like, I wouldn't eat this, your baby probably isn't going to like it.
Yeah, but I mean, you're somebody who's interested in depth of flavour. I know you love spice and so on. I mean, that you can't really do that for an eight-month-old, or can you?
So
spices
100%. Spices is different to spicy. Those are two very different things.
No chili for the baby.
Although, to be honest, I am googling like, when can introduce chili infant age, like that's something I'm googling all the time because I love spicy food. But so start off simple, like for Ren, for example, porridge is like, he's never rejected porridge. And I think like porridge, like babies are like sponsored by porridge. I don't know what the story is, but like, so for example, some grated pear and maybe cinnamon in the porridge to start. So it's got that little bit of spiciness, but they're having it with something sweet. They're like, oh, okay, spicy, that's nice.
And that's, you know, working for you, is it?
Very much so. Porridge is a game changer. If you're ever like not sure what to give your baby, porridge with fruit, or even you can make a savory porridge. Like I have made porridge with, I make like a chicken or a beef stock. And when I say I make chicken and beef stock, I'm doing this like once a month. You know what I mean? I don't have time to make chicken and beef stock every week. Like that's
who does?
Who does? I mean, I honestly, I barely do, but you kind of get it on, you leave it for a few hours and like, oh, that's done. Strain it into the freezer, grand.
So you're putting this into the porridge?
Yeah, you can make a savory porridge. You can make savory porridge. Okay, it's not taboo. This is real life here. Another thing I often do is I'll make like a rice porridge, and I'm not talking about like the stuff you get in a packet, which is, you know, that's fine too, but there's a lot of additives in that stuff. You kind of overcook rice with like lots of extra stock. That's another way for getting iron. If you cook the rice in like a beef or a chicken stock, you're overcooking that essentially. I have a rice cooker, but you can do it in a pot. So you're going to cook it for like maybe like an hour and a half, and then you get it into the fridge straight away into small pots and freeze it. And this is also something that I have found like babies and Ren especially has never rejected. If there's something that doesn't go well, for example, Ren hates red meat, anything, even if it's like pureed or cut up like very, very small, he really doesn't like it. And as we all know,
this week
iron is huge for babies. Babies need more iron than adults do, which I think is crazy. They need, I think, 11 milligrams of iron a day, which is a lot. So red meat's the easiest thing. Tofu's a great one as well. He loves tofu. And I eat like not a lot of meat, but I would eat meat like regularly enough. So this is kind of a bit of an issue. So I have found that if they hate something, example, you know, I've made him chili con carne, things like that, he's not keen on it, mix it with something they love. So he loves rice porridge, mix it with rice porridge. Suddenly you can see all the range of emotions on their face. They're like, is this I'm not, are you, is this a, what's going on here? And then suddenly, oh, okay, you finished it. Great.
Holly is tricking the baby.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Tricking but not forcing. Never force, of
course. No, never force. And then what about sturdier food? Something, you know, that you can pick up and chew on. Are you at that stage yet with him?
Yeah, and you can start that stage right away. I remember like reading this, like, oh, introduce, you know, fingers of toast and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, yeah, he has no teeth. So you sure about that? You sure about that? No, you can't. So the general rule of thumb is you can give them vegetables. If you can pick up the vegetable and it's cooked, obviously cooked, and you can crush it with your fingers and it smushes, mm-hmm. that's fine. And also toast is fine. And you would think toast, that's crispy. That's not going to work. They basically just like suck on it until it dissolves. Think about when you feed ducks.
They mush
and,
it up.
Yeah, and they like dip it in the water and they eat it. That's kind of like what babies do. Mm. But fingers of toast with, you know, peanut butter, nut butter. It's really important to get allergens introduced like as early as possible, so pretty much straight away. And now Ren loves peanut butter, loves nut butters, and they're just like a really quick snack that always goes down a treat.
And I know you've been thinking ahead then to the next stage, which is very wise of you, because it creeps up on you really, really quickly. So when you've got a toddler heading out of the outdoors, you're not going to be able to give them porridge with beef stock in it, I'm afraid, Holly. Things are going to change.
Absolutely. And I'm always thinking ahead. And obviously, you know, you're on social media and you kind of see the algorithm knows, of course, that, like, you know, you have a baby and that's going to turn into a toddler. So you're always thinking ahead and being like, OK, what can I give my toddler or child? A big one for me is what I call, also naming is crucial. Like branding is crucial. You know what I mean? If you're going to present it to your child as like a thing which is called like pinwheels, which is essentially, it's, think about like a cinnamon bun, but instead of sweet, it's savory. So you're not putting as much sugar in the dough, and very little sugar, in fact, just enough for the kind of, to kind of get the fermentation going. And you can have like different fillings. Like, what does your child like? Oh, maybe they love pizza. Okay, so let's do like a tomato and cheese filling. Oh, maybe they're a little bit on the plainer side. Let's do ham and cheese. You want to sneak some veg in there, like spinach and feta. These things are like great. And also, no one has the time, okay? I don't have the time, no one has the time. So what you want to do is, you want to make this, roll your buns, and then you're going to freeze them before you bake them. So they're going to be proved, ready to go into the oven, but then you freeze them. So you can do it like on the morning of, like these take 10 minutes. If you wanted to, while you're getting ready for the day, pop them in the oven, 10 minutes, grand, into the lunchbox. Mm-hmm. Or you can do the night before, that works too.
And what about shop bought things? I mean, at your stage, there are lots of baby foods you can get, and we're told that some of them now are organic and they're good for your baby. Do you ever resort to those?
Of course. Like, I went on holidays recently to Mayo, and I was just like, okay, well, there's not going to be any cooking facilities there. Like, you know, it's going to have to be all shop bought for that week. And it was. And I think it's important to kind of give your baby that stuff at home first, because if you're just introducing all these new foods right away, they're going to be like, what the hell is this? And also, you know, when you're these kind of pouches and stuff, they're a little bit gross, to be honest. But you like look at the ingredients, and some of them are organic, and there's nothing bad in there. Like, a lot of them are fine. But you just kind of need to get your baby used to it. Like, try them warm first; they'll probably like that more. And then you can gradually be like, okay, maybe they can have it ambient. And suddenly you find yourself in a hotel room trying to heat up a pouch with an espresso machine. You're like, what? How does this work? You're on a bath towel on the floor, and everyone's crying. You know what I mean? But we got there in the end.
Yeah. And then when they're a little bit older, then you will probably need to use more sort of cheeses that you're buying or yogurts that you're buying. Mm. How do you feel about the nutritional value of those with your chef's hat on?
What I think is wild is there are yogurts kind of targeted towards like kids and babies. And I was just like, okay, what's the difference between like baby yogurt, in inverted commas, and kids yogurt? And they all have sugar added to them. And they all have some of the sweeteners, some of the sugar. And it's just like, this is a complete con. This is completely just advertising. Just buy normal Greek yogurt, full fat. Babies and kids shouldn't have low fat products, like ever really, essentially. I think before the age of 5, it's not really appropriate. They need fat. I mean, adults need fat too, but we probably have a little bit too much. And they often have like sweeteners added, all these kind of cheeses and stuff, like cheese strings, these kind of adjacent products. They're all full of things that they just don't need. Like, there's nothing wrong with
an occasional treat maybe, but probably not something that you would rely on every single day. So when it comes to the yogurt, are you saying buy a natural, maybe Greek yogurt, and add something to it yourself for the flavour, so that they don't spit it out?
Exactly. So you can, like, you know, decant your yogurt into like a little pot, put in some fruit, maybe like a little bit of vanilla essence, maybe a spoon of like nut butter. It tastes delicious. Like, it tastes better than the kids stuff, you know, and it, like, it's definitely cheaper as well.
Okay, well, you've given us some recipes and they're up on our website, including something called salmon and avocado rice bowls, which your baby Ren isn't having that, right?
Baby Ren isn't, but mummy and daddy are. And it's really simple. This comes together, and you know, like, you know, you see these recipes, oh, my 30 second blah blah. No, this actually comes together in like 5 minutes.
Okay, well, listen, worth having a look because you've got prawn burgers there as well and blueberry and banana pancakes,
yes,
which everybody in the house will love, including the children. Holly, thank you so much. Great to see you again. I want to go back to John Cook now in Castlebar because we have some news, John, from Midlands Northwest.
Yes, Claire, we've had count 17, and as expected, Sinn Féin's outgoing MEP Chris McManus has lost the seat in Europe won by Cavan Monaghan TD Matt Carthy 5 years ago. So where will the former Sligo councillors 36,157 votes go? Can Michelle Gildernew gain as much as 60% of them as the party hopes? The big winner from Blaney's transfers was Lisa Chambers, 9,016 of them to bring her to 59,664. Barry Cowan got 6,124 to bring him to 84,955. And right now, for the fifth seat, Kieran Mullooly, he and Michelle Gildernew only got about 800 or 900 of Blaney's votes. Mullooly 71,933. Gildernew's on 54,108, a gap of just less than 18,000. Chris McManus is disappointed and tired, but he said he thinks there is still a chance for Sinn Féin, though he admits the numbers at this stage may be a little bit difficult, he said. Still over 100,000 votes to play for, he said, after his transfers go to Gildernew, referring to the votes of Lisa Chambers and Father Tobin. Michelle will be there till the end anyway, he said. It's getting a little bit more exciting in Castlebar last, Claire.
And still a way to go. John, thank you very much for that update. That's it from us. The programme was produced by John Byrne, research by Amy Ryan. Our broadcast coordinator is Jareth Holland, and Chris O'Connor was on sound. Let's go over to Louise.